Hey, everybody, I'm Andy Miller. I'm the pastor of Light of the Nations, and Light of the Nations meets here in this very room at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At least that's our official starting time. That's the time we announced that we start, although one of the guys from our church noticed that there was an old time on the sign out there, so he took some duct tape and he put on there 3:15. And the reason he put 3:15 is because we have a problem starting on time. And so we generally get rolling about 3:15, 3:20, and then all of our congregation kind of shows up at around 4 o'clock. And that's when we know, that's when we count how many people are there, so we get our attendance. We wait till 4 because otherwise it'll look a lot worse than it really is. So Light of the Nations is a multi-ethnic church. We have people from many places in the world who've joined us in fellowship and in life, doing life together. The majority of the people who are in our congregation right now are from Rwanda, although we also have people from Congo, Burundi, Uganda, Ethiopia, and Nepal. When we first started 17 years ago, we had a much larger group of strictly Nepali-speaking people. And so you have some Nepali people here, so we want to say Jai Masih. Jai Masih, can you say that? Jai Masih. Yeah, that's how you give greeting to a Nepali person, a Christian Nepali person. We have, like I said, people from Congo, Jambo Kanisa. Jambo Kanisa, that means hello, church. And the Rwandan people, we say Amakuru. The Ethiopian people, we say Tenastelin in the Bindene. You guys are really good. I think you're going somewhere. We have an incredible Chinese lady who helps us with our youth, helping to get them scholarships, helping to get them ready for going to college, and she's just incredible. So for her, I just want to say ni hao. And my favorite word in Chinese is ichilai. Ichilai means together. It's my favorite word in every language. We are together. I believe we're better together. And so that's why I think God called us to do this multi-ethnic church. People from many cultures, many languages. We translate our services into Swahili, usually either Swahili or Kenya Rwandan. And so if you find me saying something and then pausing, I'm waiting for the translator to say something. And I use that time to think, oh man, what am I going to say next? Now there's just going to be an awkward pause as I wait to say the next thing. We've been living in this facility for 17 years, along with you guys. It has been amazing. And I see some of the faces who were here from that time when we first introduced ourselves. And then I'm very happy to see a lot of new faces that I haven't seen before. And I just want to say, God bless you. Thank you for letting us use your facility. It's one of the greatest blessings we have as a church. We could not do what we do without your help, without your covering, providing this umbrella of a place for us to meet. We have several meetings throughout the week. We have the Sunday afternoon service. We start at 3 o'clock. We have a Wednesday night Bible study that often meets over in the chapel. We kind of roam with our meetings. Sometimes we're here, sometimes we're at another place in a house, someplace somewhere else. We do announce that to everybody so they know where to go, rather than saying, just rely on the Holy Spirit and see if you end up at the right place. We don't do it that way. and we also have a Saturday morning prayer meeting that meets in the chapel. And you guys are welcome to come and check out any one of those if you want to. We'd love to partner with you. We'd love to see you there and have you bless us with your attendance and with your presence. But Light of the Nations has been one of my favorite things in my whole life to do. Like I said, 17 years. We have had people from basically all over the world, people from probably more than 20 different countries, language groups all together. But it kind of shifts. You know, we had so many Nepali people at the very beginning of the church. And back then, this building wasn't as big as it is now. It was about half of this or three quarters of this. And it was packed out with Nepali people. And it was awesome. It was wonderful. And it was crazy because a lot of those people who came weren't actually Christian and had never been, like, understood how Christian groups meet. They were a majority Hindu people, and they were refugees who had come from Bhutan, Nepal, and then here. And they were Nepali speaking, but they were kind of a mixed culturally. And church was crazy. It was wild because there wasn't really a concept of a preacher who would speak and everybody sit quietly and listen like you are right now. This is a dream for me. I mean, back in that day, people would be talking to each other constantly through the service. Somebody would get up on their phone, hello, 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 just like that. Just like as if that were to happen right now. Kind of wild, but also kind of fun. It was a ride. It was a ride. And then we planted out four different Nepali churches from our church. And as we were doing that, we're so grateful the Lord brought us Congolese people who started to come to our church. And it was very different. So, you know, at Light of the Nations, I say this sometimes, flexibility is too rigid a word for us. We have to be fluid. That's how we roll. You got to be very flexible. But it's fun, and it's a ride, and it's great. And today I am going to bring a message on discernment. Discernment is one of the spiritual gifts that you will read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's called, in that context, it's called, it's a gift of the Spirit, the discernment of spirits. I'm not going to talk about it in that context, but I want you to know it's there. And I realized as I was preparing this message, I have never heard a message on discernment. And I wondered, I mean, I'm an old guy now. I'm 65 years old. I should have heard about this somewhere. I've been in the church all my life. Never once have I heard a message on discernment. So I said, I'm going to start right now. And I'm going to share what I've learned. I got a lot of my information from a book called The Three Battlegrounds. It's the Three Battlegrounds. And the three battlegrounds are the mind, the church, and the heavenly places. It's a really wonderful book. The author is Francis Frangipane, if you want to pronounce it the way the French do, but it's Frangipane for doing it American style. A great book. And so I got a lot of the ideas for this teaching from that book. And I have been blessed myself in learning from what I'm teaching about today. So I trust and hope that it's also a blessing to you. And one final thing, I've kind of mentioned it already, but I just want to say it again. I am so grateful for this church, for Celebration Community Church, the Party Church, a great place to have fun and learn about God. I don't know that that's exactly how it goes, but that's how I remember it. I love this church, and I love seeing you all from time to time out in the community and saying hi, and you recognizing me. I know I'm easy to be recognized because I'm the one-armed pastor, and there's nobody like me in town that I know, so you can figure out who I am. A lot of people go, hey, I know you. From where? I don't know, but I know you. And I said, well, I don't really know you, but I'm happy to say hi. Anyway, the title for my message today is Living in True Discernment, Rooted in Love. We live in some very strange times. There's lots of different thoughts and voices coursing through our whole society, not just in the United States, but throughout the world. Lots and lots of different voices. Lots and lots of different opinions, and there's pushing and pulling. And I felt like, as Christians, we need to have good discernment about what is God saying, what does He want from us, and how can we align ourselves with Him. And to do that, we need discernment. We need to know what's right. We need to know what's wrong. We need to know what's off base. And we can learn that. And especially as we deal with people, a lot of times we need discernment on people who are even close to us, people we love. But we have trouble maybe getting along with them. People in our own family, sometimes. We need to have discernment to understand what's behind what I see and how can I reach across and connect and guide. So the point of this message is to help believers understand true discernment comes from listening to the Holy Spirit, letting God's love shape our motives, and allowing His peace to rule in our hearts. This is a message of striving to enter into peace. Now that sounds a little bit contradictory because peace is supposed to be like, you know, flowing easily into it, but we have to struggle sometimes to get peace. And in this world these days, I think we have to do that. So what is true discernment? First thing I want to talk about. True discernment is the ability to perceive and judge rightly according to God's heart, not appearances, not the way things look, but how does God see it? Not even how I see it. That's a big deal. In our church, sometimes we struggle with that. People come in dressed a certain way, and you can just kind of feel the ripples in the room. It's like, ooh, what is she wearing? That's not going to work for church, you know. And then we have to kind of massage that out of our body of Christ and learn to understand what's the heart of the person and learn to understand how to really perceive and judge rightly according to God's heart. How does God see that person? Not just how do they look to me? And how not my feelings. Feelings are so subjective, and they can drive us one way or the other. So this discernment that I'm talking about today is only cultivated and apparent in an atmosphere of quietness, love, and peace. We have to still our soul in order to hear what God is saying. So I want to repeat that. This way, we cannot hear from God unless we are willing to be still before Him. We have to be still before God in order to hear what God is saying. So we have to learn to listen. That's the first point I'm making today. We have to quiet our soul. Do you remember the story of Samuel in the Bible, the prophet? It's a very interesting story. He's a boy serving in the tabernacle. There's an old guy named Eli who's in charge, the priest, the high priest. And Samuel was there just serving. And the Lord had picked Samuel for some very special work. And one day Samuel's lying in in the place where he was sleeping, and he heard a voice, Samuel, Samuel. He wakes up, he gets up, oh, Eli's calling me. He runs over to where Eli's sleeping. He says, yes, sir, here I am. What do you need? And Eli said, what are you doing, boy? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So Samuel, he's confused. He goes back to bed, and he gets back, kind of settles into sleep, and then Samuel. Oh, he's calling me for sure this time. He gets up, he runs over there. Eli, master, here I am. What do you need? He says, I told you, I didn't call you. I'm not calling you. Go back to bed. He goes back to bed. Third time, he comes. He hears the voice again. He runs to Eli. Eli, what do you need? What do you need? Eli says, okay, I know what's going on. God is trying to call you and talk to you. Next time you hear that voice, you just say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Samuel goes back to his bed, and he hears the voice again, and the Lord talks to he responds appropriately, and the Lord talks to him and gives him a lot of information, some of it very troubling. But Samuel had to learn to stop and say, Lord, speak. I'm listening. You and I need to learn the same thing. Sometimes you might feel troubled about something. You hear something and it bothers you. It would be good to stop, pull over from the rapid pace of our life, and just listen. What are you saying, God? What are you saying? Let me hear. We need to turn off distractions. We need to turn off the television. You know, a lot in my ministry, a lot of times I go to people's homes, and I notice that when I come in, people will frequently change the channel to something spiritual, and there goes, you know, some worship choruses or something happening. And then as I sit there and I'm talking with the folks, I notice everybody's looking at the screen. And eventually I have to say, you know what, could you just turn that off? Because I'm here to see you. I'm not here to watch anything on the TV. And we have to turn off the stuff. We have to turn off the noise, even the music, even the background music, get the kids to settle down, get the dog to stop barking, and just listen. We have to do that for our own soul's sake, or we can't hear. We have to quiet ourselves. We have to know God is speaking, and I think that's something that we can be assured of. God is always speaking, but we're not always listening. So let us be people who pause and listen. In order to hear from God, we have to make a resolve in our heart that when we hear from Him, we will obey. The Lord is always looking for hearts that are going to obey. Those are the people He talks to. Why would God talk to people who are just going to ignore Him or refuse to do whatever He says? You know? We have to have hearts that are ready to say yes to Him when He's speaking. So let's have our hearts be tender and open to Him. Real hearing begins when distraction ends. So we have to create space, turn off the noise that's inside as well as outside. I love this verse from Psalm 46:10. It says, cease striving and know that I am God. Stop struggling and know that I am God. And put our hearts in a condition that's going to say yes to Him right out of the chute, whatever He says. So one thing that I feel like we need to clarify for ourselves is that stillness, being quiet, is not weakness. It's not fear. It's just we put ourselves in a listening posture. It's actually spiritual strength. The person who can be quiet before God is in a spiritually strengthened position. Discernment starts with quiet submission. Now, the Holy Spirit, he speaks. He speaks in stillness, not in chaos. You won't hear from God unless you quiet down. Now, one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis is this. It says, C.S. Lewis is a wonderful Christian thinker and writer who wrote during the 40s and 50s. He died actually in 1962. But his works are still renowned as some of the best Christian writing of these days. And he said, God whispers to us in our pleasure. He speaks to us in our conscience. And he shouts to us in our pain. So sometimes God is working hard to get our attention, and it requires pain. I know that's happened in my life, where I've been very stubborn to just do what I wanted to do and go a certain way. And the Lord has had to stop me and get my attention. One of the ways he did that was he gave me a wife. Now, I'm not talking about pain. This is my little woman, and I wanted to introduce her to you. Donna, would you just stand up so everybody can see who you are? She's my little woman because she really is a little woman. I'm 6'1", she's 4'11", but we get along just fine. She's very strong and mighty, even though she comes in a small package. And I have learned to fear her. I fear God and I fear her, and I love God and I love her, just to be clear. Learning about being married, learning how to be married, can take some time and struggle and, in fact, pain. Some real hard shifting of things. Our first 7 years of marriage, I think, was a lot of time God getting our attention. And she can probably speak up here at any point that she wants to, and she probably will if I say something amiss. Just letting you know. I'm good so far. Yeah, Donna and I are both firstborns. So we're used to having our way with the siblings and expecting to move into that scenario with the same attitude and mindset for her to me and me to her. And it didn't work. And it took several years to kind of figure that out. But one thing we were determined, we were going to stay together no matter what, as best we knew how. And the Lord is good to us. And the Lord touched our lives in very unique and specific ways that have helped us learn to listen to each other. Now, we've been married 43 years. That's pretty good. I'm happy about that. I'm planning on continuing. But even though we've been married for 43 years, there are still times where it's like a little bit hard to shift the gears. You know, you go through phases in your life where the kids leave and they go off on their own, and then they come back to stay again, and then they leave again. This happens. And through the shifting, and then, you know, we are also getting older, and our bodies are not the same as they used to be. I need to take probably a couple of naps a day. Donna doesn't do naps. She can struggle through anything because she was a school teacher and she just retired this year. And we're happy about that. But she's very strong and very mighty. And I like to take naps. That's how we do it. So learning to hear from each other's heart, learning how the other's thinking, all that takes stillness and quiet. And I have noticed, and maybe you have too, that shouting doesn't help. Critical words, correcting in a vicious way doesn't help the relationship. It requires listening, what's in the heart, and how to move with that. So in order to do that, point number three is a big one. Dying to self. We have to remove personal bias. This is how we can discern. We listen. We die to ourselves. And to do that, we have to pray for freedom from offense. Are you with me? Offense, when we're offended, when we're angry, when we're hurt, we don't discern well. In fact, we discern incorrectly most of the time when that's what's going on in our life. We can learn a lot from Jesus here. John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus said, I do not seek my own will. I can do nothing on my own initiative. Just as I hear, he's speaking about hearing from the Holy Spirit, just as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. If we could say those same words with the same conviction and truth, oh my goodness, how it would change everything. That we seek his will first, not my will. You see, we're all born wanting our own way. We insist on it. And so that's what causes a lot of struggle and strain in our life. When we get our own personal opinions trying to push their way up, offenses and motives cloud our true judgment. So we have to let go of these things. Let go of retaliation. Oh, I'm going to get back at you. I'll let you talk right now, but I'm coming back later. We got to let go of that. We have to let go of self-serving thoughts. I got to figure out how to finesse and manipulate this situation to where I come out better on the other side. We have to give up prejudgments. That's a big problem we have nowadays, culturally, socially. We judge people by their appearance rather than by their heart. Spiritual discernment flows when we remove our personal agenda. So let's pray for God's will. Let's pray for God's will, not my will. That's what Jesus had to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if there's any way this could pass from me and I don't have to do this, nevertheless, your will be done. So, number four, discernment flows or comes out of love. When we can truly learn to love somebody, we can begin to understand them. We get discernment. And our discernment has to be rooted in love. So love is the thing. Jesus said, love your neighbor just like you love yourself. When we love our neighbor, when we love our family, when we love our neighbors, when we love our church, congregation, friends, we can begin to understand more. Philippians 1, verse 9 says, I pray that your love may abound in all discernment. True love is active. True love is actually kind of aggressive. It moves into someone's life for their good. It's sacrificial. It discerns out of compassion, not criticism. And we need to judge with a righteous judgment, not by appearances. I've said that already. When we start to see things through God's eyes, through his light. So here's a litmus test on our love, and it's this. Can you pray in love for the person or the situation that's causing you some trouble? I remember one time we were praying for a guy who was really under terrible I would say, demonic stress. And he was on the floor, writhing in agony. And he was trying to do some crazy things, trying to grab us and grab our feet. And we were just praying for him, and it got pretty serious. And so I said to everybody, hey, we just need to pause for a moment. And we stepped back, and I just had to stop, quiet my mind, because that's a pretty tense-filled situation. I said, Lord, what are you saying? What does this poor man need? And very clearly to my heart, the Lord spoke, tell him that I love him. Tell him that I, God, love him. And so that's what I did. I got quiet over him. I told everybody, just calm down, because we're Pentecostal and we get loud. So I said, hey, calm down. Let's just quiet. Let's talk to him. And I said, hey, brother, God loves you. God wants you to know. He told me to tell you this, that he loves you. Very quickly, he calmed down. And I was able to speak to that spirit that was in him to get out and to be removed from him. And the Lord really touched him. And today, he's living a great life. He's very productive. He's raising a family and doing well, living out in Columbus, Ohio somewhere. But that took discernment to figure out in that chaos what is needed. And it wasn't by looking at him. It wasn't by looking at my friends who were with me. It was by quieting my soul and saying, God, what are you saying right here, right now? Everything changed. True discernment comes from looking through God's eyes. So, can you pray for the person that you're in struggle with and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to them? It's a big deal. If you cannot do that, most likely you're not going to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying. You're going to have something that comes out of your own flesh. Let love be your lens before you speak or judge. And then my fifth point, my last point here today. Peace has to rule in your heart. I love this verse from Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And I love how this verse comes out. And I learned one time that the word rule is the same word that eventually comes to the word umpire. So like calling balls and strikes. Let the peace of Christ call the balls and strikes in your life. Let the peace of Christ determine, is that good or is that off? You know, the worst lies, or maybe I should say the best lies, are the ones that are very close to the truth. If we have the peace of Christ, we can tell, okay, that's a little bit off. I'm going to avoid that one. I'm going to go for the truth. It's a big deal. Don't trust your judgment when your heart is at unrest, but trust when your heart is at peace. There can be false discernment and true discernment. False discernment feels urgent. I got to make a decision right now. Feels pressured, and it also feels condemning. But true discernment is marked by peace, patience, and gentleness. And this is my exhortation to you today. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, that you might know what his truth is. You know, there is a verse in the Bible that says, let God be true and every person a liar. Now that's insulting. But what it's saying is, let God's truth be the plumb line of our life. Everything else is off base. You hear a lot of people talk about, this is my truth. And people have their own experiences. I have my own experiences to where I look through life through my lenses. But the truth, the ultimate truth is, what does God say? What's the Holy Spirit say? So before acting, ask ourselves this question: am I at peace? And pray for our heart to be cleansed of motives. So, discernment is active. We have to have stillness, love, and peace. And there's some questions in your bulletin that I'm just going to highlight right now that you can talk about when you go home and maybe some conversation around the table to help kind of dissect this message a little bit, pull a little bit more out of it. Some practical things. What distracts me from hearing God's voice clearly? What are the distractions in my life that I need to shut off? I need to turn down. Number two, am I seeking to understand before I judge? There's something in us that's so urgent. I got to judge. They're bad. Oh, they're good. There's just something in us that just forces that to come. We got to block it and slow down. Do I truly love the people I'm trying to discern? Love has to be the foundation. And is peace ruling my heart, or is it fear, pride, or anger? I just want to close with this thought and then a prayer. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. The sound mind is the discerning mind. That's what God gives us. So I want to encourage us. I'm encouraging myself. Let me grab it. Let me hold on to it. Now I just like to pray in closing. Lord, teach me to quiet my soul before you. Teach us in this room to slow down and to listen. Let your love be the filter through which I see others. And may your peace always guide my spirit as I seek to walk in true discernment. Help us to see the way you see. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Thanks for this opportunity. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Pastor Andy. So good to have you with us this morning. I get to exchange a lot of texts and emails with Pastor Andy. It's a pleasure to see him live and in person. So, if you would stand, please, to be dismissed as I read our benediction. So as you leave this place, remember that everyone you meet carries a heavy load. If you scratch just below the surface, you'll find incredible pain. So be good to yourself and kind to those you meet. Take the hand of your heavenly Father and the hand of a friend. And in the love of Jesus, go and celebrate. Go in peace.